Well, the word's good. The Bible says the word became flesh. Amen. That was when he was in a manger, praise God. And dwelt among us. Hallelujah. Oh, he loves you so much. Praise God. Father, we worship you today. We're so grateful and so thankful for what this Christmas season means. Father, I thank you that you demonstrated and proved to mankind and the whole world once and for all that you're a God of goodness, a God of mercy, and a God of love. No matter what the media says about you, Father, no matter what even other Christians may say about you, no matter what the world says about you, Father, the Word says you're good. The Word says you're loving. The Word says that you're kind and merciful. So, Father, we thank you for that. And, Lord, you gave us a roadmap that will lead us out of all the darkness in this world, all the tests and trials. You've given us a roadmap to victory called the Word of God. So, Father, as we gather around your Word this morning, I am humbled to be able to preach and teach your Word this morning to such precious people, people that I love, people that you love, Father. So help us. Speak through me that my words would not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. Father, I thank you that I'll speak with boldness, I'll speak with utterance, and I will speak as the oracles of God this morning. My words will not be enticing words of man's wisdom, but they will be in a demonstration of the Spirit and power. And Father, when I open my mouth, I thank you that you will fill it, and I will say things this morning that will strike a chord in every single person's heart for exactly what they need to hear this morning, exactly the season and circumstances they're going through. Father, we'll get answers this morning. We'll get help. We'll get direction. And Father, people say, how did he know to say that? And the truth is, I didn't, but you did. So Father, I'm just a vessel. Speak through me today, Father. And we thank you for all that's going to take place, all that you're going to say and all that you're going to do. We give you the praise. We give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, go to Luke chapter 1. Excuse me. Luke chapter 1 and verse 26 is where we're going to start. Now, we've been in a financial series entitled God's Thoughts Concerning Money. And if you just listen to that series from start to finish, you won't have to worry about money anymore. Amen. If you'll do the Word. If you'll do the Word, you won't have to worry about money anymore. Doesn't mean you'll never have a test or a trial, but it means that it will all work out for you. Because when you do it God's way, that's the result, is victory. Amen? But we're going to take a little detour because that's what the Holy Ghost said. And we're a church that follows the Holy Ghost. So we'll pick that up next week. But Luke chapter 1 and verse 26 says this. It says, and in the sixth month of the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of the kingdom there shall be no end of his kingdom. Then Mary said unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow you. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And of course we know that it came to pass what God said, amen? Amen. And she had a baby, praise God. And we're going to go a certain direction today, but it's important that we recognize, I think, maybe it's just me that thinks this or it seems this way from people that I've grown up around, that when it comes to the two holidays, Christmas and Easter, in terms of our significance spiritually, it seems that Easter gets the nod. all the time that Easter gets kind of put as the forefront because that's when we celebrate Christ died on the cross and he rose again. And we absolutely need that, amen? Without his death, burial, and resurrection, we cannot receive Jesus. We cannot be children of God. We cannot go to heaven, the Bible says. And so we're thankful for that. But the cross, the death, and the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus doesn't even happen without the manger. It starts at the manger, praise God. And the significance of God stepping off the throne and the Word becoming flesh made among us, it's unreal to the natural mind that the King of the world would step off the throne and become a vulnerable little baby in a manger. You know, it's at the end of the marathon or the end of the race where, you know, the accolades come and the excitement. That's kind of the way it is with Easter, but there had to be a start of that race. And the manger was the start. And we are so thankful for the manger because that was the starting point. Now, there was things prophesied about Jesus in the Old Testament. All the Old Testament all points to Jesus. But the starting point for our salvation in the manifested natural of this realm was the manger. Amen. Praise God. So we're excited about it. But here's what you need to know. From that get-go, from that starting point, we have to understand that it was a miracle that it happened. An absolute miracle that it happened. Why? Well, there was a son born to a virgin. Now, this was way 2,000 some years ago. They didn't have all the medical things that they can do now. It took a man and a woman. Yeah. Amen? And Mary said, how can this be? I know not a man. To spare the young ears in here, we'll just keep it at that. She knew not a man. Amen? But she was talking about as a husband and wife. No. And so it was a miracle that the manger happened, that Jesus appeared as a little baby in that manger 2,000 some years ago. It naturally shouldn't have happened. And this is what the word, miracle means. We talk a lot about miracles around here. Amen. One of the definitions of miracle that I loved, it stuck out to me, was is an event that is not explicable by natural or scientific laws, is therefore considered to be the work of a divine agency. Well, we know that was the truth. You couldn't explain how that happened. That's why it tripped Joseph up so much when Joseph was told that Mary's pregnant, and he thought, well, she's with me, and right? And so it tripped him up, and the angel said, no, this is of God. She wasn't doing anything wrong. Hallelujah. Amen. And so, because it couldn't be explained by natural or scientific laws. It was a miracle. Amen. And so this is what I want you to see from this story today. You're going to walk. This is my Christmas present to you today. Praise God. It's from God, but I'm the one delivering it. Amen. What I want to say to you this morning is that your Father, from the very beginning of our salvation in the manifested natural presence of this world, displayed to mankind that he's a God of miracles. That he's a God in the miracle business. Praise God. And we're thankful and we're grateful for that. And I want to show you some things that we can learn from. Maybe, you know, sometimes you just read this story. It's all nice. Jesus was born. But there's some things we can learn for our own faith about the birth of Jesus that will have you walking out of here so ready to go tear the devil into shreds. Praise God, it's going to happen. Amen. So we're going to share with you some things that the Lord pointed out to me about the birth of Jesus, that this miracle story, some things and some key nuggets in here that we can see and pull out and say, wow, God was on display from the beginning. God was showing us the flow from the beginning. So some things we can learn from the birth of Jesus. Number one, are you ready? We're going to look at three things. We're not going to be here all day long. It's not because I get to go home to my mom's house and open presents. Or because she has all this food laid out that she told me on the phone today. I mean, that's not why we're cutting this short, I promise. Amen? It might not be short. Who knows? You know, you get me talking and say it's going to be short. Next thing you know, we're out of here at 11:45. But I'll do my best. Amen? Hallelujah. But number one is found in verse 37. Something we can learn this Christmas morning. You'll never look at the Christmas story the same again. This, I hope, will always be brought back to your remembrance. Verse 37 says, "For with God, nothing shall be impossible." Now this is the angel encouraging Mary because Mary just heard something that blew her mind because it wasn't naturally possible, wasn't medically or scientifically possible. And he goes on and points in the verse before, he says, hey, your cousin Elizabeth there, she was considered barren, yet she got pregnant and she's 6 months pregnant. Nothing, Mary, is impossible with God. Nothing is too hard for God. Hallelujah. Now here's what I want you to see. It says, nothing shall be impossible. So we know that the birth of Jesus, this is what the context was talking about, the birth of Jesus was a miracle. So God is saying, I am in the miracle business. And he tells us, nothing is too hard for me. And so that should tell you right now, whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through, some of you might need a miracle. Not every need that we have is a category of a miracle, right? Not every need is something that, you know, needs some divine agency. You know, when we believe God, get his hand involved, it is divine, but it's not, everything's not considered a miracle. If you need money for gas and you pray and, you know, that's not a miracle. You understand what I mean? There's different things that are miracle, incurable things, impossible situations. No hope. You might be facing that today. But I want to tell you, he said that not just miracles aren't too hard for God. He said nothing is impossible with God. So we all might be here this Christmas Eve morning with different needs and different mountains that we're facing and different circumstances that fall on a different level of the spectrum. Some might be on the miracle spectrum. Some might be not on the miracle spectrum, but it's still a need that's troubling you that you'd like to see met. But the point is that God sets the bar high. It's kind of like this. You know, certain Major League Baseball players, I'll just use one for example, Bryce Harper. He's a good player for the Washington Nationals. He's a left-hand hitter. He hits the ball a mile. And in fact, when he was in high school, he hit one over 500 feet that they estimated. That's far. You know, Major League Baseball fences are between about 320, 330 to 400 feet around the stadium. And he hit him over there, no problem. Just choop, 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 just easy, you know, and hit him a mile. And you could watch Bryce Harper hit one 450 feet, and it would be a silly question to say, man, I just saw him smoke one out of the stadium. I mean, it went out of the stadium. You know, down at Pittsburgh, you know, you can hit him right out of the stadium. They go in the one of the three rivers there, and you can hit right out of the whole park, you know, and say, wow, he hit out of the whole park, and then say, I wonder if he could hit it to the pitcher. I wonder if he could hit it to the second baseman. I wonder if he has enough power to get it to the outfield. Well, you know the answer to that because you just saw him. So my point is this, wherever you're at on the spectrum, God already says, I'm cranking him out 500 feet. Amen. It's not a problem for me if you don't fall in the miracle spectrum. It doesn't matter. Nothing's impossible. Nothing's too hard for me. And remember he said in Romans 8:32, he said, I'll freely give you all things. Not just miracles, not just the impossible. Whatever you need, whatever you're facing, whatever your mountain is. Amen? Amen. When people say, they come up and they tell me about what they're going through, or you know, and they'll always, sometimes they'll preface it. And I understand their heart's good, but they'll say, well, this is kind of silly, or they kind of use the mentality, it's like this, you know. You know, there's people in the world that are going through far worse, and I feel even bad believing God. Well, here's the thing. God can take care of the people that are going through far worse and handle your thing that you think is little. It's not too much for him. There's nothing Caleb and Abby come to me and say, Dad, I'm troubled by this. You know, they don't have to have some gaping wound and blood shooting everywhere for me to pay attention. Amen? They don't have to have some serious miracle thing that they're going through. They come to me and just tell me one little thing, and because it's them, it matters to me. Amen. And that's the way it is with God. And he says, nothing is too hard. Now, here's the thing. The first thing you need to recognize and realize is what you're going through is so small potatoes for God.
Amen. That's good.
See, the word impossible to him does not trip him up. The word miracle does not trip him up. Why? That's who he is. That's the realm he dwells in. Amen? And so you're facing something because, let's be honest, what does the devil do? The devil will get on your shoulder and he'll convince you that what you're going through is unchangeable. It will always be this way. He'll bring up all the years that it's been that way, and he'll pump those into you and tell you and tell you and tell you, and you'll say, it's just going to always be this way, and it's impossible. The doctors say it's impossible. Financially, the checkbook and the calculator, they say it's impossible. It will never change. And the devil will sit there and say that and say that and say that and say that and say that. But see, if your revelation of God being nothing too hard for him, that wouldn't trip you up. You wouldn't buy into that. Go with me real quick to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. You see, it didn't matter to David how big Goliath was, God was bigger. It didn't matter how skilled Goliath was, God was more skilled. It didn't matter how much armor that Goliath had, God had more. In fact, David had so much faith in God being bigger than his problem, he showed up to that battle with a slingshot and stones. To a man who was skilled in war from youth, David has so much faith, not in himself, but his God is so big, it didn't matter how big Goliath was. God needs to become big to you, ladies and gentlemen. Because that God, that thing that you're facing, that's been blah, 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 blah. Let me just tell you something. The devil will sit on your shoulder or sit on your chest with a machine gun and pump thoughts into your head about how impossible it is, how it's never going to happen, how you're never going to get to the other side, how it's always going to be just sitting there pumping it into you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But just because, let me disarm him a little bit. Just because he says it more than once doesn't make it true. I could sit here and tell you till the end of the service, oh, wait till you see in the mirror, y'all turned into monkeys. I'm telling you, I can see you. You can't see yourself. You did. That's so ridiculous. But see, that's how ridiculous the devil's word should be compared to this. Yeah. See, the devil will tell you, your needs aren't going to be met. And see, he'll use your circumstance and situations. And just because the circumstances and situations are louder than the voice of the word or louder than the still small voice doesn't make it any more true. I could scream my brains off to you and tell you you turned into monkeys. You won't believe it. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Amen. Look at Philippians 4 and verse 19 here. Hallelujah. It says, but my God. See, Paul is stating and trying to get us to understand it's God. Who's God? The God of the impossible. The God that nothing is too hard for. See, you've been hoodwinked and you've bought it hook, line, and sinker that what you're facing is so hard. It's so challenging. There's no answer for it. Yes, there is. His name is God.
Yeah.
Amen. He said, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He's given you an opportunity that if you'll believe in God over your natural, because notice what it says here. He says, God doesn't need to meet your needs based on your salary, your paycheck, your hourly wage, your inheritance, what your savings account says. See, so many people limit God because their faith is in the outward and not in him. It's the truth. I hear people say this, you know, and I've heard it from, maybe older people that are on Social Security and that's all they get. And say, I'm on a fixed income. And I heard one prophet say this, prophet of God say this, Dr. Frank said, who fixed it?
Amen.
And in fact, you want to know what's fixing it? Your mouth's fixing it. If you want God to only be limited to meet your needs by your Social Security check, go ahead, keep saying it. If you want God to only be able to meet your needs according to your paycheck, go ahead and keep putting your faith in that. Because when we were $2,000 short for almost 2 years from paying our bills, her paycheck was not making it. And my paycheck was non-existent, didn't have one. Yet I pastored full-time and stayed home with Caleb full-time. Stayed home with him all day, and then at nighttime, pastored the church for free for almost 2 years. And $2,000 short. I'll tell you what, real quick, I had to get our faith off the paycheck. But see, God's saying, I'm bigger than a paycheck. I'm bigger than an hourly wage. I'm bigger than a Social Security check. I'm bigger than a fixed income. It's the same with the doctor's report. People get the doctor's report. They get the doctor's view on it. And that's where their faith goes. Oh, the doctor said it's impossible. Oh, the doctor said there's no way out. But wait a second. God said, nothing's too hard for me. Nothing's impossible. So we already know right now that thing that you feel like you're stuck with for the rest of your life is just a fat lie.
That's right. Amen.
If you want it the rest of your life, you go ahead and have it. But God says, nothing is too hard for me. Nothing's impossible. And he displays that in the manger. Right off the bat, he says, I don't care. This might be no natural medical way to explain this. That doesn't matter to me. Amen? Amen. Go to Mark 11 and verse 22. Mark 11 and verse 22. Number one, we're talking, it's not too hard for God. You got to get that in your head right now.
Amen.
That which you're facing, that's telling you, no way, no way, no way. It's not too hard for God.
Amen.
Amen. You need to go into that thing like David did. How'd David go into that thing? Trash talking. I mean, he told Goliath, this is what's going to happen. And this is what I'm going to do to you. And then when the battle started, David didn't sheepishly go towards that fight. He ran towards the Goliath. Why? God was so big to him. God was so big to him. God is so little to people. I heard Pastor Nancy say this one time, and it's so good. And we should just say, God is so big and great. The devil is so small. You need to get that revelation. God is great and big, the devil is so small. He is so small. He's under our feet. He's small enough to fit under our feet. God is so big and great, and the devil is so small. But so many people have it the other way around. My circumstances are so great and big, and my God is so small. It's not true. You just don't know God. Mark 11, of course we know, we're in verse 22 here and we'll stay there, but verse 23 says we can move mountains with our words. Verse 24 says we can have what we pray. But verse 22 is the key to the whole thing. And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God, the God of the impossible, the God of victory, the God that can do it. You people that complain about your circumstances are slapping him in the face saying, you're small, you're small, you're small, this is bigger, this is bigger. What in the world are you doing? It ought to be, oh God, you're so big. This financial thing, you're so small. And you're going down just like Goliath did. This physical thing, you're so small. God, you're so big. But that's not how people are. Complain, complain, complain. Moan, moan, moan. Groan, groan, groan. Gripe, gripe, gripe. It's the truth. When you're doing that, you're blowing up the problem. And you're making God so small. So small. And it says here, have faith in God. Once you have faith in God, see, the only reason David could step up in front of that Goliath and say, this is what's going to happen. Just want to let you know. Get ready to lose your head today. The only reason he could say that is because first he had faith in God. The only reason you'll be able to stand in front of your mountain and say, you go. You're not allowed to be here. It's because you have faith in God.
Amen.
It's a starting point.
Yeah.
You got to know how good he is, how big he is, how strong he is, how willing he is.
Amen.
Remember the leper came to Jesus and said, Lord, if you're willing, I can be made whole. He didn't have a problem that God could. He had a problem that God would. And Jesus said, of course I will. So it's not enough to know that God's big and strong. You have to know that he wants to be big and strong towards you.
Amen.
In 2 Chronicles says in chapter 9, it says that the Lord is looking to show himself strong. He's looking for it. He wants to pounce on your problem.
Amen.
So number one, the manger we learn is that God is big. It's not too hard for him. Everybody say this after me. Say,
it's not too hard
for God.
My problem
is easy for God. It is. It's simple. He's not up in heaven worrying about your problem. Oh no, my child that's going to South Dayton Family Church, they're going through this. What am I going to do? I never planned for that. He's just up there as calm as can be. Impossible, that's who I am. No hope, that's who I am. Amen. But it's not enough for him to be that. You got to know it. So number one, it's not too hard for God. Number two, we find in verse 34. Luke chapter 1 and verse 34. Let me get back there. Praise the Lord. Mary said unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Number two, number one is it's not too hard for God. Number two is, don't let the natural sink your faith. Don't let the natural sink your faith. Because Mary said this, how shall it be, seeing I know not a man? I'm smart enough to know how babies are born, and that's not happened. How is this going to be, Lord? You're telling me something, but there's no possible way. What she was saying was, the natural is not lining up with what you're saying. That's what she said. And then the angel came and answered and said, we got an answer for that. The angel answered and said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and the power of the highest shall overshadow you. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God. And then he went on and told her about Elizabeth. That I already did it once with Elizabeth. She was barren. She's now 6 months pregnant. Yeah. Amen. See, Mary's saying, I don't know how what you're saying can happen because the natural doesn't line up. And God is saying, I'm not concerned with what the natural says. I'm not limited by it and I'm not hindered by it. It's like this. Mary says, how shall this be? Go back to verse 34, Kim Laugh, if you would. I don't know a man. And then all of a sudden God says, oh, snap. I forgot about that part. Okay, we got to change this whole virgin thing in the Bible because that just naturally is not possible. No. God says, I got an answer. I don't care. He's like, my plan is going to happen regardless. When God says, I'll meet all your needs, he wants you to have faith in that. Not in the fact that your calculations don't measure up and their calculations tell you, no, your needs are not going to be met. God is not looking at that verse, Philippians 4:19, and saying, I'm only going to meet their needs if their paycheck equals the amount and it works out on the calculator and all their bills get paid on time, then that works. No. He said, I'm going to meet your needs regardless of what the natural says. Amen. It's the same with healing. The natural may say something, but God says something different. God is not concerned, hindered, or limited by the natural. People have so much faith in the natural. Go with me to Matthew chapter 14 and verse 22. Matthew 14 and verse 22. This is what trips people up with faith. The natural's loud, it's real, you can see it. You can see that you can't pay your bills. You can see the doctor's report. You can feel it in your body. You can see the way things have been for years and years and years. And you've believed it. And you believed it, and you bought it, hook, line, sinker, and the devil's loud, and he tries to tell you over and over again to get you to buy into it. It's just a lie. You got to realize God is big, nothing's too hard for him, and he doesn't need the natural to look a certain way for your thing to come to pass. In fact, that's why I get excited when things are impossible, because I'm like, oh, that's just God's realm. It doesn't matter to me that it doesn't look like it can happen in the natural. I don't care. God, that's God's realm. Yeah. Amen. Matthew 14 and verse 22 says, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. Now notice the situation, the circumstance here. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. So before Jesus even comes to them, there's a storm out on the water. It's not some calm, peaceful night. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. Verse 26, when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer, it's me. Don't be afraid. And Peter answered him. Now I love the wisdom of Peter. Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it's you, ask me to come out onto the water. Now, here's what you have to understand about Peter. On the faith spectrum, Peter started out at the top. And I'll explain to you what I mean by this statement. Peter went from the hero to the zero real fast in this story. When he said, Lord, if it's you, you tell me to come. If you tell me to come, I can do it. What he's saying is, Lord, fishermen don't get out of their boat. Especially when the waves are crazy, it's stormy, and the boat's getting tossed around. If we do get out of our boat, we don't get out without a life vest on or some kind of tether or something, you know, to keep you afloat or whatever. It's impossible for people to walk on water. I know that if I just, on my own accord, step out, The natural says I'm going to sink. But if you say I can do it, then it doesn't matter what the natural says. That's where we need to be. Peter, where Peter was in the beginning, where Peter says, Lord, if you've said it, it doesn't matter what the natural says. Lord, if you said you'll heal my body, it doesn't matter that the doctors in the report say it won't happen. Lord, if you said you'd meet my needs, it doesn't matter that my job and this and that. Amen. That's where he started. Because it's kind of like this, you know, the word is our foundation. Amen. It's kind of like somebody, you know, walking down the street, a guy, you know, he sees a pretty girl across the street. He says, oh, yeah, I'm going to marry her. I claim her as mine in the name of Jesus. And they think they're using Jesus. You can't do that. If God, now if you're walking down the street and you see across the road, pretty girl, and God says, I want you to know that's going to be your wife. Then you can get your faith on that. Say, Father, I agree with what you say. I come into agreement with that. And I believe you for that. And you start going the same way with the word. We hear something. So Peter was so wise in saying, Lord, if you say it, I can do it. It doesn't matter what the natural says. If you've said it, just like he said, hey, Mary, you're going to have a baby without knowing a man. Well, Lord, since you said it, the natural doesn't need to line up. Right. His word trumps the natural. And so Peter says, Lord, if it's you, come. And Jesus said in verse 29, come on out. That was his permission to receive what the natural couldn't produce. You know, when I was sitting there holding Caleb as a baby boy, you know, and I tell you, when I had a baby, for me, things changed. You know, I thought I was selfish. I was selfish, you know, and then you get married and you find out how selfish you really are, and you got to be less selfish. And then you have a baby, you got to be even less selfish, you know, and then you have Abby and life's over. There's no selfishness ever again. Everything is just hers, and it's all just, you just kind of living in her world. Amen, I'm telling you, you know, and hallelujah. That kid, man, I love her, that kid, wow. Man, I'm just thinking all the scary things, you know, all the trauma I've been through. But anyways, you know, you have a baby and you start thinking, man, you want to provide for this child, you know. And so the fear and temptation to be afraid and to worry was there. Being $2,000 short and having a family and not having enough money to buy diapers, not having enough money to buy food. And we didn't. When you're $2,000 short, you don't have money to do anything. And I remember holding him and just meditating. Philippians 4:19 became my verse. Meet all your needs according. And I go back to her paycheck and I go back to my non-existent one. I said, no, that's not what that doesn't matter that I'm not getting a paycheck. That doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that her paycheck doesn't meet the needs. It doesn't matter. According to your riches. Lord, you've said it, so that means the natural doesn't have to matter. And I'd put my faith in him, and I'd confess, Father, I thank you. All our bills are paid on time, all the time, every single time. Father, I thank you for a salary. I thank you for benefits. Father, I thank you for a supernatural debt payoff, not according to what we make or what we have, but according to your word. Amen. And so he says, come. That's Peter's invitation to defy the natural. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Here he was doing it. He was defying the natural. But, verse 30 says, when he saw the wind was boisterous. Now here's the thing. We already proved out that the wind was boisterous before Jesus even came to the boat. He didn't step out onto a clear, calm, glassy lake. He stepped out into the lake that Jesus came walking on where the wind was boisterous and the ship was getting tossed back and forth. So when he steps out in faith, he steps out in the fire. And he's walking on the water. But something happened. Peter became more concerned with the natural than what God's word said. When he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried saying, Lord, save me. Immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? You were doing it. Go back to verse 30. But when he saw the wind and the waves were boisterous, When Peter gave more heed to the natural, his faith sunk. And what did I say for number 2 point? Don't let the natural sink your faith. Don't let the natural tell you that you can't have what you're believing for.
Amen.
That's what people do. They say, how are my needs going to be met? My money. You're letting the natural. How can I walk in divine healing? The doctors, the symptoms, my pain in my body. You're concerned with the natural. What about Abraham? Go to Romans chapter 4. You know, we talk about Abraham. Abraham was the guy that had the son at 100 years old. His wife was 90. Miracle, right?
Yes.
Romans chapter 4. Let's go to verse 19. We see Abraham go through a great faith trial and become victorious. But can we just be honest about some things?
Amen.
Just like I'm honest with you. When Pastor Michael came up, when I was sitting on the front row of one of the services, and he said, Pastor Mike, come here. And he pointed to the Bible. Because I had just previously before, a week or two before, sat at the Mexican restaurant in Fredonia, knowing I'm going to start the church out here, and begged him for a salary. I said, Pastor, we'll pay you back. The church will pay you back. Just, I got a family coming. He just sat there, kind of nodded his head. And so I thought, man, you know. And what I was really doing was I was out of faith. I was tugging on his heartstrings. And I'm so thankful for, see, spiritual people won't let the emotions override what the Holy Ghost is saying.
Amen.
And I'm so thankful for him found the Holy Ghost because he sat there and just smiled at me. I thought, oh, I got my salary. I'm good. We're good. Woo-hoo. Service, he calls me up, has his Bible open, says, Pastor Mike, boom. And he just walks away. Doesn't even say anything. He walks away. I said, oh, what goody things he got for me. And I look and it says, where Jesus said to the disciples, when I sent you out, I sent you with nothing. There was my answer. I wanted to cry. She did cry. I mean, I wanted to. And I was in doubt. In doubt. Wasn't some big faith giant. Oh, that's fine. We'll do it. No, I was scared. I was scared out of my wits. I have a son coming. What are we going to do? And I started tempted to get offended. I'm following your vision, sir. Starting a church under your vision. And you're not going to pay me? That's what I thought. But then he said, Pastor Mike, if I give you a salary, it'll ruin you. He said, you're going to have to either sink or swim. Faith will help you to swim. Doubt will sink you. He goes, but if you'll use faith, he said, you'll have a testimony. He said, most people in the body of Christ are just echoes. They stand up and talk about other people's experience. He said, get through this thing. You'll have a testimony for the rest of your life. And I've been preaching it for years. Amen. And I will. I'll keep preaching it for years. Because we did. He said, I'm not paying you. And he didn't give me a cent. Didn't give me nothing. Followed his heart. Now see, emotion would have said, oh my gosh, my spiritual son is going through this. No, what's the Holy Ghost? So the Holy Ghost is saying, don't give him a penny. And I'm so thankful he didn't give me a dime.
Amen.
It's changed my life, praise God. Hallelujah. It's changed my life. Hallelujah. And so I'm honest about the fact that I was a doubter. Got afraid. But afraid will sink you. Worry will sink you. Jesus said, you're sinking because of you. Hallelujah. And so in Romans 4, let's be honest about Abraham. Yeah, he got a great fight or a great miracle. But he wasn't always in faith. You know, I don't believe it should have took that long to come to pass. But Abraham wasn't cooperating with God. Say, what do you mean, Pastor? Well, remember over there where they told they're going to have a baby at their old age and they laughed at God?
Yeah.
Sarah and him, they laughed at God. Ha, 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 yeah, right. I tell you, you can be healed, and some of you in your mind's thinking, ha, 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 yeah, right. Okay, just keep going without. I tell you, some of you, your needs can be met by his riches. It can all turn around. Ha, 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 yeah, right. Oh, let's not stop there. What about the fact that Abraham and his wife conspired to bring another lady in that was younger so they could, because God promised them a son, so they had a baby, not the way God said it was going to happen, and they had an Ishmael, and that led to problems. The blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow.
Right.
See, you might go out and try to get the money your way and not listen to God's way, but it'll bring sorrow.
Right.
Yeah.
And so Abraham, that was an act of doubt and unbelief. But he got into faith. Just like my act of asking for that salary the way I did. I mean, I don't think I was intentionally trying to be manipulative, but I was being manipulative in how I was bringing it to him. and telling him and different things, and the way I reacted after, full of doubt and unbelief, but then I got in faith. But look what the Bible says about Abraham. Verse 19, Romans 4 and verse 19, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. You could read it like this. And being not weak in faith, he didn't consider the natural as to whether or not that would be the result of him getting what God said. And being not weak in faith, Abraham said the natural doesn't matter anymore. Because back when he was laughing at God, and back when they were making a baby with Hagar and met Ishmael, the natural mattered. Look at my body, I'm old. We can't do this. Ha ha ha, we can't do this. He was considered natural. But then Abraham finally got to the point and said, you know what? The natural doesn't matter anymore. And God said, that's strong faith. See, when you sit here and think that your healing is a result because of the doctors and what the doctors say in medicine, weak faith. When you consider that he says, I'm Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that will heal you, strong faith. Amen. Jehovah Jireh will meet your needs, strong faith. Oh, I can't do it. My paycheck's not enough. We don't make enough. It's just this. Weak faith. You're considering the natural. It says, verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. Say strong in faith.
Strong in faith.
Giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he had promised. What was he fully persuaded? The same thing that Peter was fully persuaded when he stepped out of the boat. Jesus said, come. He was fully persuaded that that word was true.
Amen.
I had to get fully persuaded that Philippians 4:19 was going to happen. Regardless if I got a paycheck. Regardless if her paycheck wasn't going to meet the needs. Had to become convinced and persuaded in God's word. And I did. Hallelujah. Thank God. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore it was imputed unto righteousness. We know he ended up having the baby. Praise God. You see, Peter sunk because of the wind and the waves. There's a lot of wind and waves in our lives. They don't matter. They're just noise. They're just ruckus and God's word. You know, when the Lord told me to start a church in South Dayton, I said, why? You ever been there? There's no buildings, really, to even start a church. There's only 600 people in the whole town. Why do you want me to go there? And I went here, looked around, thought, what in the world are we going to do here? Yeah. And I remember the storefront we looked at when we looked at it, and I don't know what it was like when it was up and running and good, but man, when we walked in, it was dark, dingy, dusty, and dirty, and it had a for rent sign on it. It was like the only thing I could find in the town. I knew I was supposed to pastor here. And I walked in it. She was with me, and my mom was with me, and I walked out less than 5 minutes and said, ain't having church there. And the Holy Ghost said to me when I got in the car on the way home, that's where you're having church. Okay. Yes, sir. We'll do it. We did. But here's what I want you to see is starting a church in South Dayton, and you talk about wind and waves. There were midweek services where it was me, him, and another guy. There were services where just a handful of people, and one of the congregation members was falling asleep and talking in his sleep. He doesn't go here anymore. He doesn't even live in this town, so I won't even say the name because I'm not trying to embarrass anybody. But literally fell asleep in my service and started talking out loud in his sleep. And when you're in a storefront in that little building, and I'm like, I'll just say sir instead of the name, so in case it brings back memories if you were in that service. I said, sir. Sir, because he's getting louder and louder and louder. And people around it starting to be distracting. I said, sir. 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 And I yelled his name. I said, you're talking in your sleep. He said, oh, sorry, pastor. Okay. I'm not kidding you. 5 minutes later, went back to preaching. He went back to snoozing and talking. I said, forget it. We're almost done anyways. Just drowned him out. That's a wind and a wave. There were services of just me, him, and another guy there, all empty seats. You know what the empty seats are? Wind and waves. There was a lady that would vacuum over top of us over there while I would preach. Wind and wave. There was a skunk that decided to spray underneath the building. That stunk. That's a wind and a wave. There were frogs in the toilet. Wind and the waves. The old heating system made the whole building stink or be smoky. Wind and a wave. And all the wind and the waves say, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? Why are you here? Empty seats. The offering's not meeting the needs. All wind and waves. And the only thing I kept, my pastor told me from the beginning, he said, do you know your call? I said, I got a word from God. He said, put your hand to the plow and don't look back. You just keep your eyes on the word. See, when Peter just looked at Jesus, he was fine. But when he started looking at the wind and the waves, what if over there, I look at the wind and the waves and say, oh, these empty seats, let's shut this thing down after a year. We're not here today. In this beautiful building that God's given us in South Dayton. Amen. We're on the verge of having to go to, you know, we just, if I can get you out there going and doing the Great Commission, bringing people here, we're on the verge of having to go to two services. We are. We're getting close. And when we fill that up, I don't know. Three? New building? I don't know. We build higher? I'm not sure what to do. But that's a good problem to have when we have it. Praise God. But what am I saying? Wind and waves. All these things are wind and waves. Stick with the Bible. Stick with the Word. Stick with what He's told you. And last but not least, it won't take long. Number one was it's not too hard for God. Number two, don't let the natural sink your faith. Number three is found in verse 38. Luke chapter 1 and verse 38. Luke chapter 1 and verse 38. God is good.
Amen.
A little different Christmas message this morning, but it's all the things we learned from the manger. Luke 1 and verse 38. So he tells her all this stuff. He said, with God, nothing will be impossible in the verse before. And then verse 38, he says, Mary said, behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Number one is, it's not too hard for God. Number two, don't let the natural sink your faith. Number three, you have to agree with God. You want me to break down faith for you, make it real simple? You know what faith is? All it is agreeing with God.
Amen.
Saying, Lord, I agree with what you say. I know the natural, but I agree with what you say. If you say, I agree with you. God needs your agreement. Go to Mark 9 and verse 23. A couple more verses and we'll shut it down. Mark 9, 23. Isn't it crazy that Peter, Jesus said, the opportunity for you to walk on water is there. Come to me. And he was doing it, right? And the opportunity for you to sink is there also, Peter. And who did Jesus say the sinking and the walking would be dependent on? Not him. He scolded Peter and said, why'd you doubt? You sunk because you doubted. Remember the Bible says that about Peter, said that the devil, Jesus said this to Peter, said Satan desires to have you to sift you as wheat. He's saying, the stealer, the killer, and destroyer, Peter, has a bullseye on you. He wants to take you out. So Jesus didn't say, Peter, I'm gonna just pray angels down for you. I'm just going to pray that God's mighty hand would intervene for you. No. Jesus said, the devil's out to destroy you, Peter, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray that your faith faileth not. Because he says, Peter, if your faith won't fail, the devil can't touch you. And Jesus is saying to Peter, Peter, when you were in faith, you were walking. But when you started doubting, you started sinking.
That's right.
So if you're sinking, don't blame him. Right. Don't even blame the wind and the waves. Because God is bigger than the wind and the waves.
Hallelujah.
The ability to walk over these things and be victorious is there. Mark 9:23 even it brings it out even more clear. It says, Jesus said unto him, if you, everybody say me. He's talking to you. If you can believe, if you can agree with what God says, all things are possible. God's not even saying, hey, it's all about me and my power and my might. No. God is saying, if I can get you to agree with what I say, everything's possible.
Amen.
Peter, you agreed with the come at first, and then the wind and the waves talked you out of it. Abraham, you didn't agree with what I said at first, and you got yourself into a big mess. But now when you agree with me, the baby comes. And last but not least, go to Job 22 and verse 21. Kimmel, if you just pull that right up in the Amplified. Job 22, verse 21. Listen to what this verse says. This verse is our message, all wrapped up in one little verse here. Job 22 and verse 21 says, acquaint now yourself with him. What's that mean? Find out who he is.
Yeah.
Realize for yourself how big God is.
Amen.
Well, how do you do that? Go meditate in the Word about David and Goliath. Go meditate how he split the Red Sea. Go meditate how he kept Daniel in the lion's den. Go meditate how he kept Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. Go meditate how he raised Jesus from the dead. Go meditate on all the miracles of who your God is and how big your God is. Acquaint now yourself with him. See, God is so stinking huge in my mind.
Amen.
He's so big and the devil is so small. God is so big, and that's what David went to that fight knowing, my God is so big. I don't care how big you are. I don't care how unskilled I am. I don't care how skilled you are. My God's bigger than all that.
Amen.
Acquaint now yourself with him. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now look at this. Acquaint now yourself with him in parentheses. Agree with God. You see that? Agree with God. That's what faith is. My God shall meet all my needs. I agree with that. I'll heal all your diseases. I agree with that. Agree with God and show yourself to be conformed to his will. Acquaint yourself with God. Agree with God and look at the result and be at peace. By that, by doing that, by acquainting yourself with God and agreeing with God, that's our message today. God is big. Have faith, agree with him. That's what it is. Be at peace by that. You shall prosper, and great good shall come to you. Depending on your acquaintance with him, depending on your agreement with him. When Peter agreed, he was fine. When Abraham agreed, he was fine. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, God is so big. The manger ought to show us right from the get-go that God is not concerned with the impossible, that God needed someone to agree with him, praise God, that God's bigger than the natural doesn't matter, and that God needed someone to agree. Mary said, I agree with what you said. God needed her agreement.
Amen.
God needs your agreement. So whatever it is, your homework over this Christmas break we're taking is to find a word from heaven concerning what you're going through. Find a word from God. And let that be in your heart and sink in and branded in your spirit. And when the circumstances come, Jesus is bigger than that. God is bigger than that. Those are just wind and waves. Amen.
Amen.
Well, were you blessed?
Amen.
Hallelujah. God is great. Everybody says, God is so big. The devil's so small. God is so big. My circumstances are so small. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we worship you. Let's praise him. We thank you, Lord. You're bigger and greater than anything we face right now. It's not hard for you. You're not up in heaven wondering how you're going to find a solution for our problem, how you're going to meet that need, how you're going to heal that problem. It's not a big deal to you. We just need to have more faith in you than in the problem. Oh, Father, we thank you for your greatness. You are a big, big God. We praise your name. With heads bowed and eyes closed, please nobody looking around. I won't embarrass anybody. I won't have anybody stand up, come forward, or say anything on their own. But if you just listen closely. You know, the Bible talks about Jesus coming to the earth. And he didn't come to the earth so we could have Christmas and a Santa Claus and Christmas trees and presents. That's not why he came to the earth. He came to the earth, the Bible says, Jesus came to save mankind. The manger was the beginning for the opportunity for mankind to be accepted by God and to be into God's family. Because Jesus grew up, became an adult male. From 30 to 33, he was in the ministry. And at 33 years old, he was put on the cross. And on the cross, all of your sins were placed on him. Now see, the world will tell you, people will tell you, religion will tell you that you can never be accepted by God, that you're not good enough. And they'll say you didn't go to church enough, you didn't give enough money, you didn't jump through enough religious hoops. Let me tell you how good God is. And see, the reason people stay away from God is the reason I stayed away from God as a youngster. Because I couldn't stand God the way that God was portrayed. But God is saying, I love you so much. I don't care how much you've gone to church. I don't care how good you've been. I don't care if your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds. I love you and want you. He's merciful and good. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you're here this morning, ask yourself this question. When I die, will I go to heaven? When I die, do I know I'll go to heaven? Because when I ask myself that question, I lay down at night and know if tonight's it, I don't believe that it is, but whenever my time comes, I'm going to be with him. You say, how can you be so sure? Because of what the word says. It doesn't matter what religion you've come from or who you say you are. The simple fact is God said it's simple to be saved. He said two things qualify you for salvation. Number one, if you believe in Jesus. What does that mean to believe in Jesus? You might not understand everything. The Christmas message maybe makes your mind spin, or the cross, Him dying and raising again, confuses you and you don't fully get it. But in your heart, you sense there's something to this. I believe in Him. And that's number one. Number two is you got to ask Him into your heart. Jesus stands at the door and knocks, but you got to let Him in. So if you're here, heads bowed and eyes are closed, and you've never received the Lord, but you say, I want to. I do believe in Him. It doesn't mean you have to be a member of this church. It doesn't mean that you have to call yourself anything. You're just saying, you're just making a declaration saying, I do believe in Jesus, and I want Him into my life. I choose heaven. That's it. Nobody's twisting your arm to do anything. You have to give money or call yourself anything or give yourself a title. But heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you're here this morning and you could say, I don't know that I go to heaven, but I believe in Jesus. I want to receive Him. I won't embarrass you. I won't have you stand up, come forward, or say anything on your own. But with heads bowed and eyes closed, is there anybody here that wants to receive Jesus into their heart this morning? Just slip your hand in the air and I'll have you put it right back down. Anybody at all? Don't let this moment pass you by. Say, how do I know I need to do that? Your heart's telling you. You feel that in your heart, in your belly region. Anybody at all before I close the service? I don't want to rush it. Anybody that's never done this before and you say, I want to receive the Lord, just slip your hand up high and put it right back down. We won't embarrass you, I promise. Anybody at all? Father, I don't see any hands, so I trust that everyone under the sound of my voice has made Jesus their Lord. But if by chance there's somebody in here that's not received Jesus or is listening by live stream and they've not received the Lord, I pray that they would not pass from this life till they've made Jesus their Lord and Savior. I pray that they would understand and have a revelation that You are the only way. And Father, we're thankful for that mercy that You displayed for us through Jesus. Let's just thank Him one last time. Father, we love You. We praise You. I just pray that everybody in the midst of the holiday hustle and bustle would remember You, Lord, and thank You and praise You, because You are the true meaning of Christmas, Father, and the fact that You gave Your Son. So we love You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't forget, there's no fellowship, no Wednesday service. Have a great Christmas. We'll see you next Sunday. You are dismissed. To the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy, my own God and sinners reconciled. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to God.
Blessed are certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay, in fields where they keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night that was so to certain poor shepherds and fields as they